been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to a new week. Welcome to Monday's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and I guess we're going to wait and see if Thursday and Friday's really big gains can, sustain themselves and carry on to this week. So far, it's not happening. The Dow is down 15 points right now at 33,733. The NASDAQ is down 87 points. It's at 11,235. We've got the S&P down 12 points to 3,980. The small caps down 0.9%. Crude oil is down 88 cents to 88.08. I did notice some pretty good moves, though, in some of the crude oil stocks. Gold is up 360. To 1773. Gold had a big week, okay? The dollar had a bad week. Gold had a big week. I would expect the dollar to start rising again this week, however. We'll see. Silver also had a big week, and it's following through today. It's up 24 cents to 21.91. The euro rose nicely against the dollar. It's at 103 now. It's not at parity anymore like it was. The 10-year is up 6 basis points. It was down big last week. I would expect it to rise, and Bitcoin remains under pressure. So welcome to today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual fee-based only money management firm. We are headed down to Sarasota. I'll be leaving later this afternoon. Be there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Looking forward to meeting with folks. If you'd like to try to squeeze in an appointment, call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We'll try to get back to Sarasota early next year, and we've got Michigan on the schedule for early next year. We've got Minnesota on the schedule for next year, so start thinking about lining up an appointment. And in the meantime, you can always talk with us over the phone or Zoom, whatever, by calling 855-611-BEST.
Making our rounds.
That's right, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward. You know, COVID kind of put an end to all of that, and I'm looking forward to hitting the road again and getting to some of these great cities out there. Well, last week was a wild week, okay? You had the election on Tuesday. Didn't seemingly go as Wall Street had expected because the market was off 600 and some odd points the next day. And then you had the CPI report on Thursday. Barely was better than expected. It was only 7.7 instead of 7.9, and that set off. That was just like a stick of dynamite underneath the rally on Thursday and Friday. But I'm going to give you a couple of statistics here, and Barry, you can weigh in on this also. Okay, ARC funds, which very sensitive to interest rates, very sensitive to risk aversion. Of course, you all know the story that SARC is up 100% since inception against ARC funds. I just look at ARC funds as a really good bellwether for a couple of things. It is a bellwether to some extent for the tech stocks, but it's to the extreme. So that's what makes it such a good bellwether, because it's very sensitive to small moves in tech. Going into Thursday's action, ARK, ARKK was down about 63%. Now there's a 2-to-1 upside on ARK. That's TARK. Remember the old basketball coach?
Yeah,
Tark the Shark.
Yeah.
I love that guy. You know, he was at UNLV.
UNLV.
Well, anyways, there is an ETF called Tark. Consider that on Thursday and Friday, it was up 52%. Okay. That means Cathie Wood's ARK, I think it was up 22%, something like that in those 2 days. And then you had Beyond Meat, which is one of the most heavily shorted stocks in the market. It was up 25% in those 2 days. So, you know, if you're asking the question, was some of that move on Thursday and Friday kind of frantic short covering? Well, I don't think you have to go any further than that to look at how much short interest has built up in the market. It would seem that everybody out there right now is a bear, you know, including a lot of the big firms like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and Bank of America, et cetera, and especially bearish in the tech sector and in the long-duration stocks. And let's not forget the bond market. The bear interest, the short interest in the bond market has built up, has swelled here since the beginning of this year. And you would think that it all came out on Thursday and Friday. When you see moves like that, that's a big indication that's not conviction buying. Like, okay, it's all right to get back into the market. If you think it is, then go ahead, buy ARK today. Buy Carvana, you know, buy what are some of the other ARK big holdings, Roku, you know, on down the line, Zoom technology and et cetera.
Yeah, very much driven by the, you know, the fall in interest rates in the 10-year going, you know, back below 4. And, you know, it was a bit huge move in one day from an interest rate standpoint. And it does seem like, you know, how much does that really change, you know, the business or in future earnings, right, of companies, you know, and it really doesn't have much of an impact just, in, you know, except from the sense that, you know, PE is essentially, you know, expanded a bit because of the, you know, the new interest rate assumption.
But now I would think that interest rates are going to head right back up. I don't think they're going to stay under 4 for very long.
Oh, you would think. I mean, yeah. I mean, you had was it Waller? I think so. You know, had a spoke over the weekend, I believe, and you know mentioned that I think they said you know the market got ahead of itself.
Yes.
So I mean, you know, that's as much of a signal as you
can understatement.
Give. I guess, right. So.
All right, so, you know, he said it's not exactly an irrational exuberance moment, but enough to give traders pause here. And I actually bought a little SARK this morning, just personally, because I think when you see Cathie Wood's ARK funds up like over 22% or whatever it was on Thursday and Friday, and you had other stocks, I think AMD was up about 20% over those 2 days.
You had a good chip report in the middle of that.
Yeah, they have a new chip out, but that's not enough to, you know, these stocks were hitting new lows on Wednesday, okay? They were hitting new lows. So in order to participate in those huge moves on Thursday and Friday, you would have had to have owned them on Wednesday when they were hitting new lows. At that point in time, okay, so if you wanted all the action on the QQQ on Thursday and Friday, you'd have had to been long QQQ. You'd have had to guess that you're going to get a lighter-than-expected CPI report, or you would have had to have held QQQ all year and be down 30% at that point, which is not very fun. That's a very painful, painful drop in an index. Or you would have had to have owned ARK funds and ridden it down 63%, and you would have had a heck of a good day back on Thursday and Friday. Or you would have had to have a crystal ball to know that was going to happen and bought Wednesday right near the close. Okay, right near the close. Maybe
well,
the
you
Fed
would have had to have a lot of conviction in the in the CPI report. You know,
yes,
I mean,
you
really,
would.
I mean,
you would have had it basically guess right.
Right.
And to me, you know, I mean, it's a flip of a coin. So I think the market's going to settle back down, you know. It had its giddy moments there on Thursday and Friday. Now you're going to get back into earnings. forecast for next year. I updated. I feel really good about the numbers that I have, at least out there. Based on what we know right now, I fine-tuned those numbers. You know, I didn't get the newsletter out till 5 in the afternoon because I spent so much time grinding out numbers, coming up with a S&P 500 estimate that I feel really comfortable with for next year, 2023, because that's what it's all about. But even more so, looking out to 2024, that's kind of where you get your, that's where you derive your 12-month target price from, is looking at the 2024 earnings estimate. So if you didn't get the newsletter, I just want you to know that I put a lot of work in that thing on Saturday. You can get a free, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com with my updated target price based on everything we know right now. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. You know, you had a convergence last week of the relaxing of the COVID rules in China, okay? And that sent the basic materials and the commodities and the gambling stocks, the gaming stocks, soaring, and it sent anything kind of... emerging market soaring. But China is very, very, very unpredictable. And, you know, just when you think that they've relaxed the rules, they tighten them again. Or just when you think they're, you know, they're not going to ever relax them, they relax them again. Very unpredictable. And then, of course, you had the softer, the lighter than expected CPI report. And in addition to that, you had a lot of short interest, a lot of short interest. I'm going to say that the short interest going into that CPI report is probably about as heavy as it's been in many, 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 many years. And so you saw like SOX L, which is 3 times long, the semiconductors, it was up 47% last week. Obviously, a lot of short interest had built up in the semiconductor sector. You had the gold miners up 40% on that big drop in the dollar last week. And, of course, that big drop in the dollar also helped the emerging markets. You had the internet bull 3 times up 39%. You had the home builders, which is leveraged 3 times up 37%. So you had a lot of areas of the market that have been under heavy pressure. A lot of them are tied to the dollar, okay, and the rest of them are tied to interest rates. And you saw a big rally in the bond market, which drove interest rates down, I want to say, about 40 basis points last week. That's a big drop.
No, we had to. Yeah, I mean, the note we purchased on,
we,
I think
that was good
midweek.
Timing.
Yeah, it turned, I mean, the one we got, I think we purchased it midweek or early in the week, and it was. You know, a yield to worst of around 5.7%, and on you know, after the CPI report, it ended up being I think it was 5.2. So it was half a percent a year per for difference for 3 years. So
yeah,
it was pretty pretty interesting.
That's I mean
that's
it
a,
was
that's
just,
a big move. I mean in the bond market for sure.
And I would just think that, you know, interest rates are going to start trickling higher once again. And I kind of pointed out in my newsletter. Now you're looking for a 50 basis point hike in December, all right? So now instead of a 75, a 50, and a 25, now you're looking at 350s, which still add up to 150 basis points. But it is what it is, and the market did make that big move on Thursday and Friday. Now, President Biden met with China, Xi. That's the first time American leader and a Chinese leader have met face-to-face in a long, long time. That happened in Bali, Indonesia this morning. We don't have a lot of information on what went on, but I gotta believe that the tensions between I don't think Xi has any interest, you know, in backing down whatsoever. I think it's going to be continue to be a very chilly relationship. And I think China's moving on with their intentions, whatever they may be, and doesn't really care about what we think. So I don't know. It can't hurt for the two of them to meet. But as of now, I have not heard anything really to change the current situation there. You had oil surge last week. It was a pretty good week for the oil stocks. You had President Biden before the election saying no more fracking, no more fracking. That much to the chagrin of Joe Manchin in West Virginia. No more fracking means higher oil prices. That's what it means going forward down the road. You had the big conference over the weekend in Egypt on the climate change. And, you know, I mean, that nothing came from that to say, well, we got to extend this bridge this time, this transition from fossil fuels to green energy. So that should continue to put upward pressure, I would think, on oil and natural gas prices. And, of course, with China cutting their COVID restrictions, if that remains in place, that puts more demand on oil. All right, let's see. They had a big explosion in Turkey over the weekend. A lot of discontent there, right in downtown Istanbul, killing at least six people, wounding 81 others. So we continue to have a lot of, you know, just a lot of commotion around the world. The consumer sentiment numbers came out on Friday. That kind of flew under the radar, but they weren't very good. The University of Michigan, 54.7 versus a consensus of 59.6. And, of course, this is right before the holidays when a lot of these retailers get a big chunk of their earnings, 80% of their sales, 75% of their sales are usually during the holiday. I don't know if that's true anymore because it seems like we buy all year long now.
Right. Well, I mean, the American consumers definitely propped up, you know, the world for a while now in terms of consuming things. And so it'll be interesting. I think we get Target and Walmart later this week, if I'm not mistaken. So. It'll be interesting to see kind of from a retailer standpoint what kind of, light they shed on, finishing up the holiday season.
You're going to get Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, Walmart, and then a couple of tech stocks later this week. NVIDIA, which had a few good days there last week, and Alibaba.
That's like the last hurrah of earnings season there on the back end. Retailers are always end up being the later ones. So it'll be interesting to see what, from a consumer standpoint, that'll give you an idea, right, of what, potential earnings will look like down the road, because it's, something that can give you some insight into recession and the real, the true impact of inflation.
Yep. Well, have you ever had buyer's remorse? I've had a few in my lifetime. I got to believe that Elon Musk. Now you've got, Twitter, they relaxed the rules a little bit. Now you've got all of these fake tweets showing up, and some of them have been against publicly traded stocks, okay? Lilly got hit for 4.5% on Friday after someone used a verified account designed to look like the firm's official social media channel to tweet.
Oh, no. Right.
We are excited to announce that insulin is now free. Well, we own a little bit of Lilly. And, I think Twitter is just like out of control right now. He's told the employees that we might have to file for bankruptcy. He's got advertisers leaving Twitter. He's got a lot of famous people leaving Twitter. It's just a frickin' mess over there at Twitter right now.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation, really.
No, he should have just stuck with Tesla. He's doing just fine there. Okay, when we come back, we got to update this Bitcoin fiasco when we come back. This is the Best Stocks, Best Bitcoin Now Inverse Fund show. this year. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. NASDAQ down about 0.6% right now. And the S&P and Dow about even. Interest rates are starting to head back up after last week's plunge in interest rates. We just got lucky. We bought a bond offering on Wednesday, and of course interest rates plunged on Thursday. So we got a nice little gain out of that bond in just one day. Now whether that sustains, you know, that's another question. We plan on holding it to maturity unless we get a huge drop in rates and a big gain in that thing real quickly. I don't expect that to happen, however. And I'm seeing the dollar hit back up today. After a big drop on Thursday and Friday, but the direction of the dollar has been really strong here this week. Okay, we got to look at where we're at. I got updated over the weekend on Bankman-Fried, the CEO of is it FTX?
Yeah, FTX.com? Right.
It's not good at all. You know, he created his own coin. I can't remember the name of the coin. FTT or something
like
that.
Yeah, FTT. Yep.
So you're creating something out of thin air, right? I mean, is it gold?
So he creates a token, right, and then, you know, backs it by whatever, right?
He was using the token that he created as collateral.
For another note, right?
Yeah, and for taking money out of the customer's accounts.
Yeah, he was essentially commingling. I heard somebody refer to it this weekend as more of an Enron deal than a Lehman type situation.
Absolutely. It's fraud.
Right.
And, you know, his FTT coin started to collapse all of a sudden. And that was what was propping everything up. And when that came down, the whole house of cards came tumbling down. And he no longer had the collateral, the money, for the withdrawals that were starting to happen because a lot of people had heard. I guess a lot of people had invested in his
collateral. Yeah, and his collateral was the FTT, so that's what he would have had to sell, right, to pay back investors, and that thing's going down at the
Ouch.
Same time. So, yeah.
Well, as of June 30th, his Alameda's balance sheet, this is the hedge fund that he was running, had $5.8 billion of the FTX token. Okay, FTT. So that thing has lost, I don't know what it's worth today. Maybe you can look that up. FTT-USD, probably on Yahoo to see what that thing is trading at. And so the fund that he was running had $14.6 billion
of assets. $1.44.
$1.44. Is there any kind of yearly chart?
I want to see. That's what I
Yes. How high did that go?
Yeah.
Isn't that something that you can just create a coin out of thin air and all of a sudden you're a multi-billionaire? I mean, there was more to it than that. But Alameda owned roughly 200 million FTT coins in circulation worth about $5 billion. And this kid was worth about $30 billion.
Yeah, let's call it 22. It was as high as $56 in the last year. But let's call it at 52.
$52.
No, let's call it at 22.
Oh, 22.
It fell to. So it fell from, that was at $22 on November 7th,
Ouch.
So a week ago.
Ouch. Yeah. And, you know, there's another one that they were talking about out there that is mostly backed by that coin named after a puppy. Right, breed.
Dogecoin.
No, there's another one.
Different
Shiba.
Oh, Shiba.
Shiba
that's
something.
Right. Yeah. That's
I never did understand, nor did I trust. I want something backing up. Well, you say, what about a U.S. dollar? What's backing it up? The good faith and credit, right, of the U.S.
Right.
government,
yeah,
which isn't what it used to be. But, you know, like wheat or land or tangible gold or silver, a coin, these cryptocurrencies have nothing backing them up.
Well, and in this instance, it almost seems like they, you know, proverbially, you know, act like there's something backing them up, right?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, like you said, the in terms of how it was structured, having that one, you know, basically all pillar, you know, the primary pillar being the FTT, you know, it just it crumbled down. And you know, the problem is, you know, which is some of the calls for regulation in that area is, you know, banking wise, you know, you'd have to have certain types of collateral, right, backing some particular investment like that. In this instance, you know, it's basically a coin that somebody, you know, somebody, an interested party, put it that way, actually created.
Well, if this guy doesn't end up in jail for life, there's something wrong. I mean, there's something seriously wrong. He's, you know, an insider or something with the SEC. And I guess the SEC did not catch it, because he claimed that he had enough collateral to back up the deposits, you know, that were there. But the FTC never looked into it and saw to see that the collateral was the coin that he had created.
Well, and there's some Bermuda holding company, and there's a U.S. part. There's a few different.
There's a lot of moving parts there.
There's a lot of different jurisdictions. I don't know.
Which is what people like to do.
Yeah,
they create a lot of companies, and they're in different jurisdictions. He had loaned more than half of its customers' funds to back risky wagers by Alameda, which was his hedge fund, prompting the exchange downfall.
Yeah, he essentially commingled it.
Yes, he had $16 billion in customer assets. Okay, this belongs to the customers, but he lent $10 billion of those funds to Alameda. Well, he apologized for his mistake, pledging to use every penny. Well, they're going to put in a point of receiver. They're going to sell off all the assets, and people will get pennies on the dollar back because there's probably not that many assets. He's probably got a lot of it hidden. And it certainly does not instill a lot of confidence in this whole space of crypto. And, of course, there is one inverse ETF out there, BITI, B-I-T-I, which obviously had a huge week. Nothing like Beyond Meat. I mean, Beyond Meat did way better than the inverse fund on crypto. And, of course, Kathy Wood's fund did way better than that. Anyways, BITI is the inverse fund. So that's a mess. Okay, that's a big mess, and it throws a big black cloud over the rest of that entire industry. The crypto coin industry. Okay, Tesla looks to help police with probe into a fatal Model Y crash in China. Not a good week for Musk. He had to sell Tesla stock.
Yeah, early in the week, right?
Not a good week at all. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of deleveraging in the crypto space. I don't think the fallout is over yet. And in the meantime, something that actually is backed is actually something tangible. Gold hits its highest level since August as the dollar drops to a two-month low. Now, there has been some speculation that a lot of the money that would normally be in gold has been in crypto, because it moves a lot faster than crypto. But, you know, when push comes to shove, you don't have that gold coin in your pocket that you can take to a dealer or to a grocery store that you can barter with. You know, instead, Bitcoin is, you know, kind of out there in space somewhere. Gold hits its highest level since August as the dollar drops to a two-month low. And, you know, that was one of the big recipients of last week's move in the market. The precious metals, which had one of their best weeks in a long time. I see today they the health emergency, the COVID health emergency stays in place, which means a lot, actually. And I was listening to a Los Angeles show over the weekend, and they're getting ready to go back to mask in Los Angeles. AMD had a big week. The chips had a big week. But I think, you know, when all the dust settles and the noise, you take the noise and push it aside, where are those earnings estimates? This year's going to be about $225 per share. Okay, we've gone from 60 to 225. Have we hit peak earnings? What will be the growth next year? Because that has everything to do with where the S&P 500 is headed. And even more importantly, where are those earnings estimates right now for 2024, like 13 months out from now? I update it in my newsletter. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks. We'll be right back with that. Those things that are moving today.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. NASDAQ down 83 after just two huge monster days, Thursday and Friday. There's no question. I mean, I don't know the exact amount that was short covering, but there was a lot. There was a lot of short interest that had built up in those NASDAQ stocks, especially down in that, you know, down towards the end, the long duration end, the ARK funds end, because TARK, which is two times bull, her fund was up 51% in 2 days. That's a lot of short interest scrambling, running for cover after that little bit better than expected CPI report on Thursday. Now, the market, I would just say, is sobering up today. Maybe there's a bit of a hangover going on, thinking, what did I just do? I just doubled down on ARK funds. I just doubled down on NVIDIA or
on Zoom.
Zoom technology or Carvana. What did I do? Well, okay, so I'm not seeing a lot really that excites me. The biggest moves here today, I would say, would be natural gas related, which was way oversold. And I'm going to give you my stock of the day. It's one that we own. I think it's our largest position, Barry. I do think it's our largest position.
I think
position.
I know which one you're talking about. Right?
Valero.
Yeah.
VLO, massive breakout today. It's up 3.9%. We own it in our large cap growth fund and in our dividend and growth fund. And Valero is having a huge day. I'm not quite sure why. Okay, I haven't read the news on Valero, but I did notice this morning that it was having a monstrous day, and we'll take it. It's got a relative strength of 97. And having a really big day. Okay.
Yeah, of course, geopolitics are kind of fueling crude, I guess, today. You've got China, I believe, you know, kind of on the reopening, and then also on a potential, I guess, attack from Iran on Saudi Arabia. We'll see. Remember, I think you referred to that.
I was saying that
deal. I think early last week. I think
the State Department was warning that Iran was getting ready to stage an attack on somebody, and they figured it was Saudi Arabia would be the most likely candidate. Okay. Anyways, all right. So, I also see breaking news that multiple outlets are reporting that the GOP will take the control of the House. Okay. It's getting hard to predict markets. It's getting hard to predict economic reports. It's getting hard to predict elections. But that is the news right now. So Nancy Pelosi may be out as the House Speaker of the House. Okay, and of course the market likes gridlock. You can throw that into the mix on that move Thursday and Friday. The market does like gridlock. no big things can really happen under a gridlock scenario, okay? Which is kind of the way the founders designed it, to have a little bit of balance of power there.
Yeah, no big market moving, you know, news, you know. I mean
that's going to all really come down to the Fed, I think, over the next 2 years, and geopolitics, see what happens there. Okay, so Boyle, which is, I think, three times natural gas. You know, natural gas got down to really what got up to a overheated price. Now it's come back, and I don't really see that where they've solved their problem in Europe for their natural gas for the winter season. Boyle, which was down big on Friday, is up 12% today. So it's two times bull natural gas. And I know that our natural gas prices are rising in this area, so we're part of that rise in natural gas. It's not that we don't have enough. It's that we don't have the pipelines to carry it. That seems to be the biggest bottleneck with natural gas. And there's fear that New England won't have enough. I haven't heard anything about the diesel shortage recently, but I don't know that they've solved it or cured it. Okay, and then UNG, I mean, you can buy an ETF and just invest in natural gas itself. That thing's come down from 34 to 20. And now at 20, you know, that might be worth looking at on kind of a swing trade kind of a deal. In fact, I put out my trading list today, my potential best eye trading list. With all this volatility and all that overheated action on Thursday and Friday, I think there's some pretty good opportunities right now. I'm certainly going to be looking today. And I sent out a list of about 60 that I have boiled down from 6,000. I've been sending that out every day for about the last month. You can sign up for that at GundersonCapital.com. It comes along with anybody that signs up for the newsletter or is in our database. I've also been putting it out on Twitter, on StockTwits, which leads to Twitter. You can find it in my feed, at Bill Gunderson. If you follow me, at Bill Gunderson, on StockTwits or Twitter, I'm pretty active all day long when I see something that makes my eyeballs pop out, like Valero. You know, I tweet about it during the day. You'll see Gunderson in the water every single day from 6:30 a.m. until after the market closes. Okay, one more. Let's see. How about Tusk, which was a Fleetwood Mac song that used the USC marching band? I don't know of any other rock song that used the USC marching band. I'm talking the real USC, Barry, not University of South Carolina.
No, yeah.
I'm talking the Trojans.
That's what I tell the kids. I'm like, no, it's USC is Southern California.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, hats off to University of Southern California. Put out the Darius Rucker. Tusk, look at that stock, breaking out, breaking loose, provides pressure pumping services known as hydraulic fracturing. It's a fracking company. It's a freaking fracking company. And Biden says no more fracking, but this stock disagrees. It's up 7.5, massive breakout today. Okay, well, tomorrow we'll be broadcasting from Sarasota. I can't wait to get back down there. I was there just a couple of weeks ago. And be hanging out downtown, try to get some good dinner. A lot of good restaurants. We love Sarasota. We love going there every year. And I think the market's sobering up a little bit today after last week's drunken brawl through the streets. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.